Hello and welcome to Always in Escrow with Serena Appel and Colby Burchin. Hello, Colby.
Hello, Serena.
I am thrilled to introduce our guest, Jake Burhans, a real estate entrepreneur who leads QA Home Buyers, empowering communities through property solutions, and Maple Birch Properties, a thriving real estate investment in New Hampshire. Jake, welcome to our show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Anytime I can come on and talk about real estate and business and mindset is a good time for me.
So Serena, Jake contacted us on Instagram. I mean, he is one to watch and I'm super excited. I know you're super excited to have him on the show. He definitely has a lot of insights. So Jake, you ready for some questions?
I'm ready. So let's go.
Okay. So you started your entrepreneurial journey at a young age. Can you share what inspired you to dive into the business world?
That's a nice loaded question to start out with there. So I think it goes back a while. So in my younger years, I played hockey, right? So I was dedicated to that for my entire life up until about 19 or 20 years old, my whole life revolving around hockey, right? So I look back at that time, obviously my goal is always to go to the NHL, just like any other athlete's dreams were to go professional. But I learned so much from that time, just in terms of kind of soft skills, right? Commitment, team things, right? Because you're going to apply that to the business world, persistence, a lot of adversity in sports, especially at a high level. So I look back fondly on that time, but what essentially transitioned me to entrepreneurship was I ended hockey and I didn't end up going to college for it because I got hurt. And then in my initial year in college, I didn't know what to do with myself because I had spent like year round, I would focus on hockey and I was just, that's all I would think about, talk about, train, do all the things. It's like, what the heck do I do? So for a year, I didn't really know. And then COVID, despite all the bad things that came with it, was actually one of the most transformative times for me because I was always someone, for one, who always needed to be with people. I was at my friend's house. I could never like be alone. But then COVID forced me into that isolation. And then I started to gain energy from being alone. So I started to read and I started to learn and do all these things. And that's when I got in, read Rich Dad Poor Dad. So my now business partner, he lived across the hall in my freshman dorm. And I didn't really know him then, but he had given me the book. I think maybe it was like sophomore year of college. I read it and then I started kind of working under him, like as like a little intern. He was actually working under another investor and I was working under him, just trying to learn anything I could about real estate. Cause I feel like people read Rich Dad, Poor Dad and it either clicks and they're like, yes, or it just goes right over their head. So for me, it clicked. And that kind of just my obsession for real estate kind of filled that void that hockey had left, you know what I mean? Not playing hockey. So then I was just all in on developing this and building this. And I was just obsessed from then.
Very impressive. All right. So Kobe alluded to your presence on social media, and we want to talk about that. So the business landscape is evolving rapidly with technology. And how do you leverage your tech savviness to your advantage in the industry?
I think it is an important thing, tech savvy. I don't really think about it, but my generation definitely is much more easily adaptable to these new things that come out. So we're able to use all the features and do those things. I think social media is a great platform because of the leverage, right? You think about views, right? Even if you get 300 views on a reel, you're like, oh, I only got 300 views. Think about 300 people in a room. If you had 300 people in a room and you were talking to that many people, you'd be like, dang, that's a ton. You post something on LinkedIn, it gets 1,100 impressions. Imagine if you were speaking, that's like an auditorium. You know what I mean? So I think the leverage is phenomenal. It's kind of infinite. So as you scale, you can get your message out to more and more people. And it's just one post can go out to hundreds of people, right? So it's like a one to many, as Alex Hormozi calls it. So I think it's a phenomenal tool for that. I think it's a phenomenal tool for being able to just communicate your message. And this is kind of a digression, but being loud about what you do, I think is super important. Even when there's a lot of people in your space who do the exact same thing. Initially, when I got on social media, I was like, why would anyone listen to me? Like, there's already so many people out there farther along than me making better content than me. Why would it be important for me to do this? And I came to the realization that everyone has their own unique teaching style and way of communicating messages. So there's going to be certain people that will relate to me that will not relate to other people, or they may understand things the way that I communicate it, right? So no matter who you are, and that goes for you guys, there's probably people there out there that will understand you better than they understand me. So they'll start following you. So I think everyone should be on social media preaching what they do and teaching other people, because and also no matter where you are in your journey, there's always someone behind you, right? There's always someone behind you.
So true. So being a young entrepreneur often means navigating a steep learning curve. Can you share an instance where you had to quickly adapt to a new challenge or a change in the market?
It took me so long to get away from the W-2, like earn money on an hourly rate mindset. Like it took me so long to be comfortable just getting my money in those spurts. You know what I mean? Because I had been used to working, because I've always worked since I was like 14, did construction for a while, did some accounting stuff. But just getting paid. In the beginning, it was like you get paid every like 4 months. It was brutal. Like I remember when I started, my bank account would probably be down to zero like three times. And I had like a deal just like serendipitously just coming in onto the table, and I would just have money again. So that was definitely a roller coaster.
Absolutely. All right. So you bring a fresh perspective to the industry. What innovative solutions or ideas have you introduced that you believe set your business apart? And how do you foster a culture of innovation within your team?
Some of our greatest innovations have come from operating virtually, I think. Because in this day and age, the internet allows you to do those things. So as long as in the real estate game, when you're buying properties and you're doing phone sales and closing deals over the phone, as long as you have like boots on the ground, people who can go see the property in whatever market you're in, you can do stuff over the phone. So I think we've created a lot of systems and processes around operating virtually, right? And doing that in an effective and an efficient manner. So we use a software called Notion. It's kind of like monday.com. It's a product management software. But my business partner, who is really more the integrator, like systems guy, he's built out the whole massive like back end of the business that I think we'll be able to offer to people eventually as like a template. So if we like eliminate like our information, it'll be like, here's the template to have a whole complete wholesale business, right? The back end, all the positions, all the SOPs, all those things. So I think we've innovated that. I think that could be a game changer for virtually sourcing off-market deals in the future.
Unbelievable. So some may underestimate a younger entrepreneur. Have you ever faced challenges or stereotypes due to the age?
Everything's over the phone. I mean, I don't have too high of a voice, so people usually don't think I'm like that young. I've had a few people comment on the phone like, oh, you sound pretty young. I'm always like, yeah, I'm 25. I think it's kind of like it can be a benefit sometimes, though. I'll kind of joke with sellers sometimes like, yeah, wouldn't you love to just sell to an upcoming investor? And sometimes I'll get a chuckle, but not too much adversity. I'm lucky enough to be in communities that are very supportive and just want to see people grow, and they love to see people on the younger side kind of getting after it. So I've been pretty fortunate, and like my family's super supportive, right? Which can be really tough in the entrepreneur space, especially as a younger person in this day and age, especially if you go to college. Like, not a lot of parents are going to be like, yeah, don't do anything with your degree.
All right. So let's talk about building that network. Networking is crucial in a business. And as a young entrepreneur, how do you go about building and maintaining professional relationships?
Outreach through social media, for one. That's how I'm even on this podcast. So that's another way to leverage social media. Going to meetups, maintaining. I think the biggest thing to keep in mind with relationships is that it's such a long-term game. You're just planting seeds, right? Don't think that you're going out to meet someone and you're looking for something right away. Like you're looking for something. First of all, you should never be looking for something, right? You should always just give, right. give with no real expectation of return. And then it'll come back around, you know? But I think understanding that it's like a farmer, right? You're planting the seed and it'll eventually grow. And I've noticed like some of these relationships I build, I go out to get coffee with them like a year and a half ago, right? And then I'm like, oh, nothing will come of that. And then they like work their way back into your life in such a strange way in like a year and a half. You're like, oh my God, glad I got coffee with that person a year and a half ago. So I think that's what it is. Just staying consistent. And I think building connections, you just got to be consistent. It's about consistency, not intensity, right? Because intensity, it's like, you can't go to the gym for 9 hours in one day and get ripped, right? You got to go. But if you go 20 minutes a day for 6 months, there's a much better chance. So same thing with networking. Don't just like, and this is one of my biggest detriments is like, I'll be like, yeah, I'm going to go do this thing. And then I'll go in like 300% and then I'll burn myself out. So I've learned to not do that and be like, okay, let's just one person a week. Let's talk to them, right? I don't need to do 10 people a week. So if I can just be consistent, you know?
I think that applies to the work I do in media relations and, you know, fostering a network. I the same thing happens where conversations that I've had years ago are now helping to secure stories for my clients now. And it's maintaining the contacts. It's checking in. I do think those small, short spurts, checking in and just, you know, having that, that continuity, right? It's just showing up and also being, interested in what the other person's up to as they're evolving as well. Colby, I'm sure you have stories too. I mean, networking has been part of your world since you were 15 years old working in the business.
That's when I started. That's why everything Jake is saying really, like, I hear it. I'm like agreeing with it. It's everything is right on.
The relationships are just everything though in life, right? I mean, if you had a relationship for anything, you wouldn't need to like say in a perfect world, you knew everyone you needed for every resource you needed, right? You wouldn't even need to buy a car. You wouldn't need to do anything because you would have that connection that could get you the discount and do all the things, right? So at the end of the day, if you can just have connections and not only focusing on connections just in your industry, right? I see that like, oh, I'm only going to connect with real estate people, right? No, go connect with everyone, right? You never know what that's going to lead to. So having a vast or like a broad network has helped me out a ton, just in all sorts of areas.
It's so funny you say that. I literally, when I started, I remember, you know, people were like, oh, you have to go for that bigger number. You know what's so funny about that? I didn't do that. I did rentals. I did everything because you never know what one person or who that one person knows that they will connect to because they had such a good experience with you. So to this day, I do the same thing. I still do rentals and I can't stand them, but I still do.
Awesome. That's absolutely awesome.
So failure is a part of the entrepreneurial journey. Can you share a specific setback that you faced?
Yeah. So failures are constant, right? It's one of the biggest things I've realized too, is business is not linear, right? It's not like I've put in X amount of effort. I'm getting X amount of results. It's really like, it's like this, right? It's like up and down, up and down, up and down, but the trend is up. Hopefully, right? If you're going to stay in business. And when you're getting started growing the business, it's like that hockey stick growth, right? Before you hit that up, it's tough because it feels like you've just been working and working and working and working for however long and you don't see the results. And it's like the 3 feet from gold thing, right? You could be right there, but you just don't know. So I think the mindset has been the most difficult thing of just getting up, doing the work every day, keeping a positive attitude. It's so easy to get down when you have a bad couple days in a row or a bad call or whatever. So I think the mindset's huge. And additionally, being in a community of people that are like-minded, doing the same business that you're doing, I think can really help support you because you can connect with those people who might be a few steps ahead of you, who are like, hey, you're right there. Like you just got to do a few things or you just got to tweak this, right? And that's going to get you over the hump. But again, network and people around you and those connections, relationships, sustain you in the difficult times.
I love those peers. Keep those peers close by.
Have to. Okay.
So looking ahead, what are your long-term goals for yourself and your business? And how do you see your role evolving as you continue to grow as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, we don't have long-term goals. No, I'm kidding. So with the wholesale business, we're looking to completely automate it by 2025. That's always been the goal because we started out, we were doing realty, we were trying to wholesale, and we were also trying to buy multifamily. And it's the classic, like chasing too many rabbits, couldn't really get traction in anything. So like focus on wholesale, let's automate this, right? It's a grind. I don't want to do it forever, right? We're going to hire all the positions out so that we are like 2 to 5 hours a week in it, right? So we'll be there by mid-2025. And at that point, we'll have a cash flowing asset, right? That will be kicking off cash flow, never have to worry about income again. And then let's take that money and then go invest in multifamily. Then we'll pivot and just focus on multifamily. So that's the goal from a real estate perspective, business perspective. I think I'll always be doing real estate, obviously, but I think what I'm really passionate about now, obviously, is like, I love speaking, like going on podcasts, also helping people get started, helping them on their journeys is something I'm really passionate about. So I could see myself doing more of that. I don't know, just necessarily coaching, but like, I don't know, speaking events, things like that. So I think that's another kind of, it's funny as you, when you start with one business, right? But then all these kind of branches come off as you're growing, all these different opportunities. And I think that's how people grow, to have like 3, 4, 5, 7 businesses, right? People think it's like, they hear this stat of like, oh, a millionaire has 8 streams of income. They just try to go build 8 streams of income, right? It's like, no, they didn't start with 8 streams of income. They started with 1, and then the little things like sprouted off, and then they slowly got to 8. You know what I mean? So I think that's how it should be.
Oh yeah, I agree. Well, tell us how our audience can find you. Well, everybody should be following along on your journey and the education that you're providing and putting out there on social media.
Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube is just Jake_Burhans. But you can find me on LinkedIn as well, Jake Burhans, and Facebook. So the major 5 right there if you want to reach out and get connected.
Jake, we thank you. You're really someone to watch out for. We follow you, and I hope our audience follows you, because you definitely give great tips.
I appreciate it. Thanks again. I really do appreciate you having me on. It means a lot, and I love to just come on and kind of preach the message, and hopefully if I can help one person, it's a win, you know?